Hey, welcome everyone. This is, almost messed up the intro right off the bat, so cool. This is Stunt Granny Audio 432. I am not Kevin. My name is Jeremy. Joining me this week is Mr. Chris Calamito. What's going on, man?
Not too much there, Jeremy. Just, getting done with this, Halloween episode of SmackDown that thankfully did not have, other than a few graphics, a Halloween theme. They got their trick-or-treat, trick-or-street fight out of their system last night, so that was at least one positive for tonight.
Yeah, so about that, one of the best things about SmackDown tonight, because I know I threw this out there real fast before we started, this was an entirely skippable episode. There were a few things, but we could have just read about it and everything would have been fine, except for seeing the return of Akeem in the form of Big E. I was so happy to see that, and it makes me want to see an Akeem versus Akeem match now.
Well, the one-man gang does need the money, and a new house, apparently, after last year or two.
Yeah, so I say we get that truck a-rolling, and why not have it? I mean, what's a New Day got to do at WrestleMania right now? So, Oh, no, he's gone. Never mind. I was going to say, what's Big Boss Man up to? I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, so never mind on that one. Who else did Akeem... Who did Akeem team up with? Anybody else?
I don't think he ever teamed up with anybody else. He was managed by Slick.
Who was part of Slick's stable, then? It was Akeem, Big Boss Man?
I think he just had Akeem and Boss Man for a while.
Wait, didn't he take over Volkoff and Iron Sheik when Freddie...
He took over Volkoff and Sheik and Hercules for a little while before he sold them to Bobby Heenan. Then Butch Reed came in, but Butch Reed didn't last very long. He always had the gang, who then became Akeem, picked up Boss Man, got a main event run out of that, and then after that it was... Well, Hogan and Bossman was an awesome fucking feud. Let's not even...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just thinking... I was just thinking about that whole, transition that Slick went the deepest, darkest Africa.
Yeah.
And he came back with the one-man gang. Just now called... What was he? Was he called the African Dream?
The African Dream, yeah.
All right, I thought so.
Another of those veiled shots at Dusty Rhodes.
Well, the best part is I was at... a house show in Richfield, well, outside of Cleveland, at the Richfield Coliseum. And the main event was supposed to be the Big Boss Man versus Dusty Rhodes. And we actually got Akeem instead. So you had the African Dream against the American Dream.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And I was like, yeah, this is... Hey. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I really liked that. I didn't really care about Jimmy Hart. Kofi just looked weird. Dressed up as Brother Love. I mean, he looks different anyway since he shaved his face.
Yeah.
And then putting that, I don't know, blood red makeup on, eesh. It's just yuck. But that was it, though. That was nice and short. Well, we got the Stranger-er things, which was kind of a dud. And I'm like, oh no. It's nice he's on TV, but is that it for Ty Dillinger?
I guess it is for now. I'm not gonna cry too much. Not a fan. So, but I mean,
but it's like, but he comes up. They throw him out there for a couple episodes, and he's been gone. Then he has that thing with Baron Corbin and AJ, and now he's playing. Well, I guess it'd be 10.
He's 10, not 11. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Funny,
yeah, I actually like that, though. He's like, no.
That was actually pretty good. Yeah. That part was good. I mean, some of it was all right. It's getting long in the tooth, and now the parodies, yeah. But hey, you know what? If this is what Tyler Breeze and Fandango get paid for every week now, good for them.
Hey, the Ascension as well, good for them. They were literally nowhere until this. So... collecting paychecks, I mean, especially with what's going on, I mean, the seemingly out-of-the-blue cuts, I mean, that's really it for SmackDown. I mean, Nakamura won, which we all expected. who won the other qualifier? Bobby Roode won, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Rusev beating Big E actually kind of surprised me. But New Day's in that weird phase right now where doesn't really seem like they know what to do with them.
Right, no. They got nothing really going on with New Day right now, so... Mm. Nah, and Rusev's the regular singles guy, so yeah, he probably should have picked the win up there.
Well, should, yes. But we'll get into Raw in a second.
Yeah.
So...
But then it's next week, and Rusev against AJ Styles, and I don't foresee Rusev winning that one, which leaves... Well, SmackDown, logically, you'd think that it's an all babyface team, so they should all be on the same page.
Well, then maybe Rusev should win, but how can you not have AJ Styles on, though?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And, I mean, I understand the theme of Land of Opportunity, but is any practical person, as soon as Braun Strowman gets added to the other team, you're immediately going, yeah, enough of this qualifier stuff. You, and you. I mean, you need your best to be able to seemingly take out, well, I'd be curious to see what happens over there, but you right. would obviously want your best on there. And now it seems pretty obvious what's going to happen, which is fine. I mean, with Owens and Zayn both losing, you know they're going to screw it up for the SmackDown side. At least I would expect them to.
Yeah, I expect it too. But well, also, Raw can't lose. Or Kurt Angle's fired as GM.
Well,
and I don't think he's going to wrestle that often that it's going to be worth it to lose him as GM.
But then it doesn't. Well, the rumors have always been Triple H versus Angle at WrestleMania. So couldn't this just lead into it that way? You know, have him lose, or some goofy stuff goes on and it creates a whole problem.
It's possible. I'm not going to say it's 100% chance. I'm 100% that SmackDown's going to lose and Raw's going to win. But right now, it's looking that way because what are Owens and Zayn going to do? They're going to cost Shane the match, get Shane eliminated, but SmackDown still goes on to win.
I'm guessing, like, this is obviously all just speculation, but. I'm guessing Kane somehow gets involved, and that's what Strowman just gets. Can you get counted out in these matches?
Yes, they've done that all the time. Yeah, they've done lame eliminations since year one of this thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Honky Tonk Man just left?
Yeah, Honky Tonk just left. Yeah, in the first match of the Survivor Series, you just showed that he could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I. You know, as a kid, you hate it, but now, as like an adult, you go, that's pretty smart.
That was pretty smart.
5-on-1, a bunch of guys that hate you? Nah, peace out. I'll take my guitar, my hair, and my title, and I'm out of here, guys. But no, Honky Tonk Man just threw me off, by the way. But no, that's what I figure. Kane's going to do something, and that's why Braun's not going to be involved in the finish.
Yeah, I could see that. Although, this whole thing, I guess we're going to be bouncing around a lot here, but this whole thing with Kane and Braun, especially this whole, when does it have a blow-off? Raw's not on pay-per-view until the Royal Rumble.
Okay,
and that's only two or three matches, individual matches that they would have.
Yeah, but, okay, I was listening to Observer today, and it's listed as a SmackDown pay-per-view, but now it may actually be a Raw pay-per-view in December.
Really?
And
but
I'm like,
Raw had the last one. So then the numbers would be off for the year.
But unless this is just like the Angle push where it just Kane and then they blow it off on TV.
I guess you could do that, yeah.
When is Kane's... Oh my god, I think we did this last time. No, actually, the last time we did show, we were wondering when Kane's election was.
No, the primary isn't until like May or April or May. He's been campaigning this whole time, but that's probably why he has this time, and he thinks probably that he gets some extra publicity and some from being on TV in the months before, and he's still under contract.
He's almost 50 though.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm with you that there's gonna be when is this blow off gonna happen? But we already know how this is gonna end, and poor Kane's gonna get obliterated probably, And I'm wondering if that's it. Especially with him going to politics, you know, he's got his insurance business, whatever. I mean,
yeah, this is his gold watch run, like Big Show got. Although I'm not sure if Big Show's, you know, never coming back. But this could be a gold watch run for him, and I'm not against him having it. But my God, how many people is he? How many current and slash future stars is he going to decimate on the road to losing to Strowman?
Yeah,
Finn Balor is dead.
I wasn't real happy last week, just only because of what happened Sunday, and then Monday he comes out and gets obliterated. I'm like, wait a second, why would you squash all that momentum like that for a guy that hadn't been around at all, and frankly was not this monster version of Kane? If this was the same version, like, you know, they're building up to be this monster again, if that version was the one that left, not like corporate Kane, then he gets mad and then doesn't know he's Kane and all this stuff, I think that was the last time we really saw him, right? With Seth Rollins.
No, he was... He was around like all last year, but nothing really important, doing nothing of importance at all. It was a whole... And then he wasn't around for a year. I didn't even realize he wasn't even in the WrestleMania Battle Royal.
No. He wasn't?
Yeah, no. You know, I went on that cagematch.com or whatever site that's got, like, a match database, and I was just... I do that with a guy on there every once in a while, but, like, no, until last Sunday, Kane hadn't had a match since last November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't... I could have swore he was in that Battle Royal, but then again, I didn't really watch it very closely or even live, but no.
No, I mean, I don't remember
hurt,
that either.
And I mean, he must have been hurt, then focused on his mayoral campaign, and now he's... I guess focusing on both, or but yeah, you know, I like Kane, but and I know there's so many, there's been a lot of old, you know, 45 and up, you know, characters and old guys on old characters on TV in the recent years, but there's something about Kane that just feels more like a relic from the past than any of them. To me, there's a staleness there that I don't get from Jericho or even Undertaker or Goldberg or, you know, or even Big Show. There's just something about Kane that maybe it's because nothing's changed other than the style of the mask.
Yeah. I don't know it. Look. I get where you're at with that, though. Because
even after he's been gone for a year, it's not like he still feels stale. And that's a weird. That's just a weird thing to me.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't get the like, oh wow, sort of thing when he came back. It was, oh, Kane's back. Okay, it's like, but it's funny because he's got the respect of the crowd to where they aren't going to boo him, you know. I'm sorry. It's not that they're not going to boo him, but they're not going to give him the like the Big Show treatment he was getting. Remember when it was like he was getting all the please retire chants and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Kane's not going to get that. Because, I mean, Kevin and I used to talk about it all the time on the show. He's got to be, and like, you'll understand what I mean, but he's got to be another one of their greatest creations.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the audience understands that and will always give him that respect. But currently, we can get respect, but we don't have to enjoy, you know, you being around again. Especially when it's at the expense of, like, Finn Balor,
Seth Rollins.
See, I was going obviously
Rollins
say
and Ambrose
that.
At once. You know, within 15 minutes, he gets Balor, Rollins, and Ambrose. Not even mentioning the Daniel Bryan thing. It's like
the Daniel Bryan thing. I didn't mind it.
That was actually good. I like that.
Yeah, because if he's going to be that much of a jerk again, then yeah, that's exactly what he should be doing. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm down with that. That's fine.
Maybe I don't mind him just coming back and destroying people en route to a match with Strowman. Hell, I mean, I don't mind him destroying people en route, if they really want to go that far, a match with Brock. But you don't have to beat... When your roster is so thin as it is, you really, and you're struggling to get people to believe in these, you know, guys like Balor and Rollins, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have them get destroyed by, you know, the relic from the past.
Well, at least with the Seth Rollins one, there was like not direct outside interference, but in the world of WWE, outside interference where somebody's out there and you have to go, you know, put your nose into the business, so he turns around and Kane chokeslams him. So at least that's like a momentary lapse, I guess. Finn just got crushed, and then got crushed again this week. But it seems like there's going to be two different feuds. It's like, is Finn going to get the win over him? Just to he overcame, but...
Maybe after Braun gets the win, the Demon can get the win over Kane too. Maybe you can do that.
Yeah,
but
that's where I was wondering if this was going. I mean,
but once again, the timing of everything is just so off. Considering Survivor Series is all Raw versus SmackDown stuff.
Yeah.
December may or may not be a SmackDown, or maybe a SmackDown show, maybe a Raw show. I hadn't heard anything of that. You know, there's any speculation that was changing. That's news to me. But the schedule is just so weird as far as what is the end game with all this build up for Kane?
Yeah, and they wouldn't do this, but. They could have that drag out to Royal Rumble and then just have Braun destroy him.
But Braun should be in the Rumble match itself.
Well, that doesn't mean he can't be.
Yeah, you know, I guess.
He's a monster. He's not a man. So, you know, I mean, all joking aside, that's the gimmick. So, you know, you get him into the Rumble match as well as his own feud. So...
Yeah, you know. They've done it before, and you know what? I'll say it. Braun should win the Royal Rumble.
Well, yeah, no shit.
Braun's the guy.
It ain't happening, man. So there's that.
I mean,
no, it's not gonna happen. So we're done.
Oh man, you're. But no, he's passed the test. The accidental test, that we'll call it. He's lost key matches he shouldn't have. He's been put in. He was put on ice during WrestleMania season. Only used as a plot device for Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. He's been put in, you know, silly angles, and he keeps coming back stronger. What other guys lose and, you know, can't, and the fans stop believing in them. People just keep believing in Braun stronger and stronger. Last night was just
okay.
That was a moment.
I was glad. Okay. I was talking to Kevin about it real quick, because for those who are wondering, Kevin's at the Austin Crew game. They're playing all their games in Columbus right now, so he decided to go and check out the Austin Texas Crew match since it's the playoffs. Oh. So, that ain't gonna go over well. But I was talking to him just because we knew we weren't gonna talk today. What did you think of the whole Braun angle, like coming out of the trash truck?
It was hokey as hell, but I enjoyed it. It worked. I mean, that they were playing it like Braun had actually rolled out of the truck and then rose up from the dead.
Yeah. Okay. And then the whole part where he just rises up, throws the arms up and roars. Like a monster just coming back to get his revenge. And I was like, that's perfect. Yeah, it's stupid as hell, but okay. I mean, the guy apparently, and as Kevin pointed out, he's been in there 8 days. Okay. And then, as Kevin pointed out, trash trucks usually don't cross state lines. So.
Well, it was a different truck.
Okay, so are we going to go with he? So he didn't come out of the truck. He rented the. Well, was he driving it then?
I don't know. It was definitely a different truck because the truck. It was definitely a different color.
Yeah, because I didn't think it was red before. So
because
that makes sense.
Because they obviously rented a truck in the town in Minneapolis and then rented another truck in Raleigh. So they weren't going to get the same truck. I don't think they bought a garbage truck.
Well, who knows? Well, it could be one of those displays like they have, you know, with the Corvette with the.
Maybe concrete. They should have, but they're in cost cutting mode. They're not doing that. But that.
Like, all nitpicking aside, that was great.
It was hilarious. Braun running after them. And
let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, this is the Braun jerk-off hour for a little bit, but that's a 375-pound dude?
Yeah, 385, I think.
Okay, even better.
That's what they say.
He was flying in that after Miz and them.
Oh,
and,
he was.
And Kevin's like, yeah, did you notice he runs? He noticed that he runs it with his legs close together. And I'm like, yeah, but a dude that tall and that heavy on that surface wearing... you know, his wrestling boots, you want to make sure you don't fall. Because something bad's going to happen to you if you go running through over those concrete steps, that concrete platform, and all of a sudden just take a, not even a header, but just one of your legs kicks out from under your running. There's nothing good's coming of that. So I was like, yeah, I don't blame him for running a little weird, but his ass was flying, too. So, and that was the thing when I saw Raw here in Charlotte. Was it last year? Oh my god, I forgot already. It was either last year or in the spring, one of the two. And that whole thing where he runs in the corner and splashes people is insane. Because it's insane how fast he runs and isn't actually killing the person. So seeing him just like get, you know, teetotal as fast as he can go was always pretty cool, but... but yeah, and then he just destroyed poor Curtis Axel. So
yeah, it's again the one more time chance. People are now roaring along with Braun. I mean, that's the thing. That's gonna be the new big thing. The roar. He said, "There's just this." I love Braun. We all love Braun. Yeah. He's amazing and. I can't believe we can't see that this now. Okay, now if he's a babyface and he's the babyface champion and he's got all these heels smaller than him, I see where the idea that might not work.
Okay.
But still, you run with what you got here.
Yeah. Well, here's part of the problem as well, and him running winning the Royal Rumble. It was actually when you were talking about how, you know, he's lost matches he shouldn't have. He's done, like, this has happened to him and it shouldn't have, and people are still behind him. It's because he always comes back strong. Like, you know, it's, I don't know if you want to call it protecting him or whatever, but they're doing it correctly. So like he loses. No, I'm sorry. He beat Roman Reigns, right?
He lost to him once.
Okay, but
in Fastlane.
And he beat him in, he beat him in the ambulance match, but then Roman attacked him, right? Yeah, that's when he hit him.
That was the first attempted murder. He survived.
Okay, so then, like, after that, Strowman comes back. It wasn't the next day.
The next week or maybe two, maybe two, two weeks, but it was nowhere. It was probably a week.
Okay. Well, one when he, you know, he gets... the ambulance gets run back in. He just says, "Leave me alone," and walks off. Not like this long diatribe about, you know, I'm in pain. I'm going to take out Rome. Blah 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 blah. None of that stuff. One simple thing. Shows up 2 weeks later and beats the hell out of Roman Reigns again. Then, you know, when something bad happens to him, if something storyline doesn't go his way, there's always something like that. As I repeat myself, But no, that's what they do. It's like they understand. I think they understand what they have. So, like, you know, why bother? I almost think that they're almost in the mode where they're like, why bother? Why bother giving it to him now when, you know, he's relatively new? Which I don't know if I agree with, but... Or if they think he's just going to be a guy that's going to be around a long time. And why we don't have to push him right now. Because something can be said for not giving the guy a gigantic push right off the bat. Like anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it, but it just seems like he you know, the person who beats Brock for that title at WrestleMania should be off for the races. You know, but, and we've seen Roman Reigns ain't ever getting off for the races.
I don't know, man. I don't think so as well, but this Shield reunion would probably have helped him. In all reality, it probably would have helped him, but...
And you know what? Maybe that's why they might just move the Raw pay-per-view to December so they can get that Shield six-man in before the end of the year and before we get into Rumble season. That would be another reason to do it.
Yeah.
Now, who they would face as a three-man team, but it would make sense.
Here's the problem.
Plus,
go ahead.
If you want to do a SmackDown exclusive show between Survivor Series and the end of the year, just put Starrcade on the network.
Ugh, got two ways to go with that. Yeah. And I'm so confused why that's not. Well, I guess other than, you know, having the Rock and Roll Express in it. But if that's still true. Yeah. SmackDown, like, I guess this is, well, the problem with SmackDown's gender. So I'm trying to like formulate this in my head. It's not working, but it's like SmackDown doesn't need another pay-per-view. What are we going to see again? Are we going to get AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal, which is still a weird transition? Jinder comes out talking about AJ Styles. I'm sorry, he comes out talking about Brock Lesnar, and then all of a sudden has to switch over and start talking about Brock Lesnar or AJ Styles, while the two, you know, his two cronies get beat up. Then he beats up to AJ Styles, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is just weird.
They went... I thought they were doing, like, a... You know, like a bit of a soft start to this whole AJ gender thing, but that was a pretty major beatdown for a match that's still maybe a month and a half off, or whenever they get around to it.
Yeah, it... When it... Saw that today, and that last. What are they calling his move? Is it just the Cobra? Clutch.
The Coloss.
Okay. Oof. Fitting. So, a boring name for a boring wrestler. So, yeah, with that last one, I was like, God damn, dude! Like, settle down. I mean, poor AJ bent in half on the way down. Unless that's just AJ's athleticism doing that too.
Yeah, so that's the way AJ's always bumped. Yeah,
but it's just a weird thing, man. I mean, the champion that no one really buys is in two different feuds with two far superior wrestlers. Like not even like actual talent, but just characters. As characters, they are far beyond him. And then in the ring, they are far beyond him as well. So, I know. Shahid always yells at me. He's like, you know why Jinder's champion. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. There's statistics that have already come out. The India thing's not working. They've already lost. They've lost viewers. I guess they got a TV deal. Okay, cool. A TV deal for viewers that are already tuning out. So, big fucking deal. And I don't know, have you been on the show when we've talked about, like, the actual WWE stance with this? Jinder Mahal on TV is an asshole, and he cheats. He has his two friends cheat all the time. But because you know, he speaks Punjabi, and he can, like, claim to be from India and all this, that the Indian people are just going to open, like, openly embrace him, as if they don't have eyes and go, you're not really that good. You're not, you know, you cheat all the time. And
you notice, when he did that promotional tour, they didn't have a lot of footage or photos of him. It wasn't like the great Khali, you know, getting off the airplane and being greeted by tens of thousands of people.
I mean, well, they've got that one where they've got, like, what, is it a parade or something? Something like, it was like a parade, or he's on a car and there's people cheering in the background, which honestly could have been anything. If you got a billion people in your country, you're bound to have some celebrations all the time, right? So you can just know when they're coming, or you can, you know, tell people, hey, we're filming something here, because people like being on TV. But I'm not buying this Indian TV bullshit, especially when, you know, network numbers are down, their TV viewers, money and merch isn't changed at all, nothing's different.
Now, the best thing you can say is, you know, the most recent, you know, quarterly financials are out. He hasn't hurt business in the U.S.
Right.
It's still solid across the board. He hasn't hurt things yet. But we're heading into this. Well, they were able to have, between September and October, enough attractions, you know, to stave off, you know, some of the feeling that this is the fall doldrums. But the Survivor Series buildup is lacking. The December pay-per-view is going to be a lame duck. So, while
what
they...
What is the December pay-per-view anyways?
I think it's the 17th.
No, what is it?
It's Clash of Champions.
Oh, that's right. They got rid of Night of Champions, so they're just doing Clash. Okay. Yeah, they get rid of Night of Champions, right?
Yeah.
The big problem's gender, and I almost feel bad saying that, but it is. If they would have written for him better, booked for him better, he'd be actual credible, you know, something, but oh well, whatever. They're gonna do whatever they want, and we're just gonna have to sit there and suck it, basically. So, you know. Okay, are you going to WrestleMania, by the way?
As of right now, no.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure if you were going or not.
Not planning on it at the moment.
Okay. All right. No, I was just curious, because I thought you mentioned you were going, so I wasn't sure.
I think I said I was thinking about it, but then. It's probably just not. It's just not going to work out.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We thought we had some cheap airplane tickets, but boy, they like the old hidden fees and taxes. So
yeah,
not they, quite as cheap. They, we're still going to end up going, but
yeah.
But no, the reason I was asking, and we'll get back to some of the other stuff. You live around there. What's the feeling around there with WrestleMania possibly coming back to Detroit next year?
It's not like it's water cooler talk, and you know, I'm, you know, walking through the Walmart. It's what everyone's talking about. But no, it sounds cool. It's great. Of course, I'd go to that and do everything. Yeah. But I mean, supposedly some insiders who I've never heard of are saying that it's the front runner, but the Detroit Tourism Board or whatever, the sports or whatever the heck council or whatever is saying that they haven't even put in a bid.
Okay. That's what I heard too.
Yeah. But of course, WWE got mad, I think, either at San Francisco or Dallas for making an announcement prematurely. So there's a chance that they're lying, although I don't know if it's a government organization and they can't lie. We'll see what happens. They'll announce it in, you know, December or January. I think they did it in January. I mean,
oh, that's
the
right.
thing is...
They did announce it early last year, didn't they?
They announced it pretty early because they had a special Raw there. Where it was only small special because both The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were on the show. And now, in other reports, I see three cities, two besides Detroit. One's New York, the other's Philadelphia. Now, they like to coincide these announcements with, say, an episode of Raw in that city. Mm-hmm. Detroit has a house show, you know, during the Christmas week.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, they're in New York for the big 25th anniversary show, and then the Royal Rumble's in Philadelphia, where they're going to be there for 4 days.
So do they want to actually do... Philly's got to be outside.
Yeah, and so does New York. But New York, at least... But New York, they like a 29, they justify it with the, you know, it's the New York media, so you know, in the New York market in general. But Philly, yeah, the Philly outside, I mean, it's the reason why WrestleMania's never come outside. It's the reason why WrestleMania's never going to be in Chicago, and that's why Detroit gets WrestleMania's in an indoor stadium. Otherwise they'd probably go to Chicago all the time.
I'm actually surprised that they haven't gone to that new place in Minnesota.
Apparently, they've put in strong bids like 2 or 3 years in a row and haven't gotten it. Hmm. And apparently it's out for the foreseeable future. I mean, L.A. and Vegas will definitely get it, you know, probably early in the 2020s.
Oh, yeah, because they got the brand new one, so they're not going to pass up L.A. Atlanta's got their new stadium, too.
Yeah, they like Atlanta.
I liked Atlanta, too, except for the fact we couldn't get anything to eat after midnight on a Sunday. Fucking jerk-offs.
I'd love it. I cross my fingers. I hope all the rumors end up being true. But I'm not gonna like, you know, expect it. Just because some guy on the internet I've never heard of is claiming it's true, it doesn't have to be true. It doesn't mean it's true.
True. Yeah. Detroit would be cool because I could probably take my nephews because they want to go. So I'd make their dad pay for good tickets. That'd be pretty sweet because he doesn't want to. He'd probably go actually. But yeah, that'd be pretty easy. So, anyways, back to stuff that actually happened. Well, this isn't WWE, but. Nah, we'll save that one. All right, you like using the term "they're dead," and like, I'm not sure if Finn Balor's dead. You know, he's not exactly used great. All right, so I'm not gonna say that. Here's one. How about old Bailey?
Oh, she dead.
I'm actually kind of shocked. At her downfall. I mean,
she got nothing on Monday. She got no ovation. She got no reaction other than a bunch of kids and one creepy older guy wanting to hug her.
No, true. So, I forgot about that.
I mean, the die was cast a while ago. The old man didn't get it. And it's been downhill ever since.
See, that's my thing, is like, can't someone just be like, hey, here, this is on your network, just watch it. You know, I understand he's got his hands in all this stuff and Vince lives in the bubble, but it's like, guy, this is your own product that you're supposed to be, you know, and I say supposed to be, but we, you know, it's Triple H's baby, but good grief, you know? I mean, pay attention. Just look.
But I said it from day one, though. But here's the thing. Maybe a quarter to a third at most of the Raw's audience has ever watched NXT, and they brought in Bayley as this fully formed, childlike character. I won't use any other terminology for it. NXT spent before she won the title from Sasha, they spent 2 years building this character. Starting her off as this naive, as basically a naive jobber, and they told her story. She was, you know, bullied by, you know, when Sasha, Charlotte, and Summer Rae were a crew. They were essentially, you know, kicking her in the dirt every week as her bullies. She rose above all of that. Yeah, they told a 2 year, when NXT was at its peak, when, you know, when Dusty was booking, they told a complete story of how Bayley became Bayley. It's Bayley in those 2 years. The majority of the WWE audience never got to see that.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you never watched NXT, you don't know why this grown woman acts like a child. So that is part of it. A lot of it's, you know, they're booking their creative incompetence and you too, but you never explained why she is the way she is. Mm-hmm. To a more cynical, wider audience. I'll say it like that.
Yeah, cynical, that's a very, very good word to use when it comes to WWE audiences, and, you know, us being some of them too.
Right.
Sometimes right, sometimes just not getting what we want, but this isn't like, well, I mean, Bayley's Bayley. I was mentioning this to Kevin, I think the last time we did a show, maybe, or it was Shahid. And it ties into the Kane thing. The Shield isn't the same as it was before, because remember, no one beat them. And like, did you watch A Table for Three?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, they even made a point of saying nobody has defeated the Shield up until this point. Like in the thing. Obviously they ended up losing matches, but during
right.
like whatever clip they used, you know, they purposely did that. Well, now we've got, you know, Seth Rollins losing, they're getting their asses handed to him all the time, which never happened before.
Well, Big Brother's not there.
I understand that, but even then, you know, it's like, God damn. That, I'm not saying it's a failure, because it really hasn't gotten off the ground, but maybe it just ties in more with the Kane stuff. Like, using Kane to, or using, like, these guys, but
they should not be using. Use Matt Hardy, use Jason Jordan. Don't be using.
Use Jason Jordan, please. Do anything you want with him.
Destroy him. I almost said injure him legitimately. No, I don't want that.
Well, obviously not.
No, but no, yeah, just. Yeah. You got an entire roster of people no one believes in.
Yeah.
So why are you, when in the end you're building up Kane to lose one match?
True, but it's also like, are people going to take him like seriously if he's beating up, you know, Heath Slater all the time?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing.
But here's the thing: when they were building up new opponents for Hogan, they didn't job the number two and number three baby faces to the new monster heel along the way.
True.
He beat jobbers. He beat Coco Beware. Maybe Tito. they never got much higher than Tito Santana before they got their run with Hogan. They protected their 2, 3, 4 baby face. Actually, I'm trying to think. They never did. You know, JYD, Duggan, you know, whatever, you know, second, third, fourth tier heat baby faces they had, they never did those jobs to the monsters they were eventually going to feed to Hogan. Maybe Duggan lost to Earthquake, but like Warrior didn't, or
yeah.
You know, Warrior was also the champion during that whole period too, when Hogan's feud was still considered, you know, more on number one, and then Warrior's feud with Rude was number two, but still.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to remember. You know, if I remember all those, granted, you know, they're a long time ago, but I don't remember the, you know, said number two, number three, number four baby faces going down to these monster heels. They were only going to end up fitting to Hogan anyway. They protected their investments in their baby faces. But granted, back then, those baby faces were also expected the main event in the B towns, the C towns, and and whatnot, but
yeah,
but no, as I said, I guess I'm now I'm kind of rambling, but I made my
That's
point.
All right. I started my point rambling, so
yeah, right. Yeah, my big point, of course, they still protected their top 2, 3, 4 baby faces back then.
But I'm also trying to figure out if now they just see Rollins and Ambrose as tag team wrestlers.
Which is
ridiculous to think. But it's the only thing I could come up with. Like, they're the tag team champions. They're a tag team now. They're not the main event guys. Which, I mean, you know, right now, no, they are not. But Seth Rollins won a title at WrestleMania in the main event, and now he's getting jobbed out to a guy that's been around for, what they say, 20 years? Like, you know, that sort of stuff. So, I say
a guy Seth Rollins beat pretty handily 2 years ago when he was the champion, and now that's how far Seth Rollins has fallen.
I guess I wouldn't mind the kid. Boy, I guess I got a lot to bitch about with Kane, even though we joked about, well, what are we going to talk about, Kane the whole time? But I wouldn't mind if there was some explanation. Because like I said, man, the last we saw Kane, he was all fucked up. He was going back and forth as corporate Kane and this. Like, to me, that's what I remember. I don't remember him doing that.
That was all in 2015. Kane was around all 2016 and did nothing of note.
Yeah,
maybe he was feuding with the. I vaguely remember him feuding with the Wyatt family for the 100th time. Towards
that
the end in SmackDown.
I guess maybe I'm just getting to that point where I'm just having an easier time just getting rid of garbage that I didn't like. You know, like, I'm like, I don't like this, so I'll just purge straight off. And also, inconsequential things, too. Like a Kane run in 2016 would be something that I guess I would forget about. But anyways, that was supposed to be about the Shield and Ambrose and Rollins, and oh well, but
Well, right now, I guess until Roman comes back and we get past this Survivor Series, you know, time, there is no Shield. They're just trotting Ambrose and Rollins through the crowd with Roman's music to try and sell some T-shirts to try to do something to salvage this deal.
It seems to be working. I mean,
yeah, well, good for them.
Well, Rollins had actually settled into being a babyface, like, finally, and then they did all this stuff. I was like, all right. And they had the thing with him and Dean, you know, trying to beg each other to forgive, whatever else. Yeah.
That was all really well good. I mean, Dean Ambrose is definitely doing better than he has in a while. He finally washed off that stink of meeting me and ruining his career.
Okay, one thing here. I'm curious what you think about this one. I just totally lost what I was going to ask you, and I purposely did this so I would remember. Oh, fuck off. God. Ugh, it's getting late. Anyways. If I remember it, I will ask for sure. So, oh, this is it. See, that's all I had to do was stall for a while. So, all right. And I guess I got to back up from what I said earlier. But with Roman Reigns, do you think there's a possibility that they're finally going to be like, you know what? We can't actually rely on this guy. Because remember the last time they gave him a push, all of a sudden he had hernia surgery. And then this time, you know, the Shields thing started. Now all of a sudden he gets meningitis, right? Or whatever it is.
And there was a drug failure in between those two things as well. Uh-huh. That put him out for 30 days.
Now, I think we both know the answer is no, but let's just have some fun with this. Do you think there could even be a possibility that Vince would be like, maybe not, you know? Maybe I will just go with Braun, or
I think
figure
there,
out something.
There's a chance of just about. There's a chance of anything.
Yeah.
Well, remember, everyone, and their mother is predicting Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Has been predicting Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for months now. Vince could wake up at 2, 3 in the morning and think, it's too predictable, got to change everything at any point here between now and the Rumble.
Well, I'd be okay with that, because since we're going to WrestleMania, I'd prefer that not to be the main event, but...
Now, once again, the best way to get Roman Reigns to be the top babyface someday is to have him be the top heel first. We've hit a roadblock right now, but if they can get the Shield back up and running, and Roman is the one who takes it away from people by turning on Rollins and Ambrose, that's some heat.
Yeah, that would do it. I've seen other people say the same thing. So yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. It's funny. I know it's still like not gonna say the cool thing, because that kind of undercuts the argument, but I don't really hate Roman Reigns like everybody does.
No, I don't.
You know,
I like him a lot. They screwed him up. Whether it's for breaking up the Shield too early, the bad promos, the suffering succotash will follow him until he has that cool heel run. He needs that cool heel run. He needs that Rock in 97-98 run. He needs it. They may have delayed it too long already, but I still think that it can still be something.
Yeah, no, I think being the guy that there's two ways of that, though. Is he the guy that breaks up the dominant Shield, or is he the guy that just breaks up, you know, whatever version of this Shield is? You know?
Yeah.
Like I just got done saying, they're not that dominant Shield that they used to be. But if they get to that point, and like, as much as we don't want to agree with it, you know, Daniel Bryan was the guy starting everything, and then they kind of like took the place and started feuding with Evolution, and then just kept going and going. And that's, you know, because they ran roughshod over, what, the New Age Outlaws and Kane, and they, what, beat Evolution, what, three straight times? Two straight times? Got Batista to retire, you know, if you want to think of it that way. But, like,
yeah.
Batista retired. They were dominant, and it was like, that's why I think the Seth Rollins thing was still kind of shocking, because
it was very
no one was beating them.
Where would WWE be in the last 3 years without Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose sprinkled throughout the card instead of just all in one match?
Mm-hmm.
They've been the glue that's held WWE together for the last 3 years. At each has singles acts.
Yeah. Well, at one point or another, for sure. And then though, you know, Roman can try and say that he sells the same amount of tickets as, you know, everything's the same as when John Cena was there, which we know it's not. But, you know, he's still one of the big merchandise guys. So, you know, good on him. But I don't know, man. I think like anything talking about like, well, Roman's gonna be healed. Roman needs to be healed. Heal this, heal that. I just don't think it's gonna work. I'm sorry, I don't think it's gonna happen.
No, once again, most likely, after all these years of starts and stops, it's now is when Vince McMahon is gonna put his foot down. He's gonna be stubborn, and he's gonna charge through. In all likelihood, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar, and after that, they better have some great opponents set up for Roman that he hasn't faced before. And I don't know where they're going to get those from.
He fought AJ Styles, right?
Yeah, he fought AJ Styles.
AJ actually beat him.
No, he beat AJ Styles twice.
Wait a minute, didn't AJ Styles win, like, the number one Oh, duh, never mind. That guy got caught up just thinking out loud. Funny how that works. But, yeah, that was, what, 2 years ago now?
It's going on two, but, you know, he's faced Braun Strowman tons of times. He's faced Joe a bunch of times on TV. Although, maybe he could get a pay-per-view match out of that, but, yeah. I mean, the granted that they did once again the bat.
I was about to say Sheamus, but they already did that.
They already did that. Cesaro, maybe if they want to move up Cesaro, but you know that they've been resistant to that for years. So why is that going to change? Yeah, you know, you could set up even you could. So that's what they got to start figuring out, because you can set up the ultimate scenario for someone to have their crowning moment, but does that person become Steve Austin in 1998 or Sting in 1990? When you don't, when you have nothing, when you have nothing set up for him.
You know what I thought was actually worse than Sting in 90, like setup wise? Lex Luger. When he would have been WCW champion. He was fighting like Rick Steiner on Clash of Champions. Like his quality of opponent was nowhere.
Yeah. And Ron Simmons, I think I wasn't even watching WCW, but I know it was Ron Simmons at Halloween Havoc in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Which, yeah. I mean, yeah, and then once again, as a heel, well, WWE in 1991 after Flair left was just a complete mess.
Because
Luger was supposed to beat Flair and go and have a strong babyface run, but then once again, I don't know where. Once again, I wasn't even watching it at the time, but you know I've watched it back enough and studied enough on that time period. I don't know. Once again, would they have had the same issues they had with Sting with no opponents besides Flair ready for him on the heel side, at least until Rick Rude showed up. Rick Rude was definitely in, and now we're completely off the rails here, but
yeah, we're only talking about 27 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God, 1990 is 27 years ago.
Yeah, but 91. Well, 90, 91 then. Because we jumped from 90 to 91. Yeah, Rick Rude was a hell of a pickup for WCW back then.
Yeah,
he really became, you know, the star, the straw that stirred the drink for a while. Really, until Vader was up and running, and then until Flair came back, Rude really did carry that company.
You know what always shocked me when I was younger was when Vader came in. He was fighting Sting, and they actually had a match where Vader just flat out creamed Sting. It was a clean pin. It might have been Great American Bash.
Yeah, I remember that. It was my first WCW pay-per-view.
And
yeah.
We're all watching this
going, I ever watched.
What the hell just happened? Like, because it was rare where bad guys won clean. And he just mauled them. And I'm like...
Yeah, he mauled them, and then 3 weeks later, he lost to Ron Simmons.
Yes, which, as a kid who really liked Ron Simmons back then, that was cool as hell. So and that was also before like dirt sheets or
right, yeah, what they were. You're a kid, yeah.
So you're like, oh my God, what just happened? This is the greatest thing ever. And then like, oh, all right. But it was just weird though, just the way Sting was built and this, and they bring this fat dude with a jock strap on his head with a cool ass mask though. I gotta give him that the helmet that they suddenly stopped using. Which, why, by the way, do you know why they just stopped using that thing?
I've never heard why.
All right, because that kind of made the character for a while. So, don't know much about that, but...
Don't know either.
Anyways, let's get back... Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's get to the present. And a story that's going to be close to a lot of people's hearts... The Booty Man / The Barber / Brutus Beefcake is feuding with his buddy Hulk Hogan on Twitter. Now, some of you may be wondering, why the hell are old men on Twitter? I don't know. Especially if you're Hulk Hogan, just stay the fuck off of Twitter. Like, what do you got to prove? Anyways, why? I was trying to make heads or tails of this, and I actually thought that they were joking. Because even didn't Brutus Beefcake put a picture of Clarence Mason as a rebuttal or a retort on one? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, these guys are screwing around. But apparently, they're actually angry at each other.
Yeah. Well, I heard a long time ago that they had a falling out. Now, sources close to Hogan have said that Hogan stole jewelry from his home.
Wait. Rich-ass Hulk Hogan stole jewelry.
No, Brutus stole jewelry from Hogan's home.
Okay, and now I go, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, but then there's apparently issues with Beefcake's current wife, and then his old wife's hanging out with Hogan. And Beefcake's daughter's involved. It's just this weird mess of... I'm not sure exactly. Once again, you know, because remember when Hogan was on the witness stand last year? He said he'd only ever had two real friends, Jimmy Hart and Brutus Beefcake, and then, or Ed, or whatever we called him, and then said, well, not really friends with Ed anymore because of his wife. I guess that started, you can't be talking about your buddy's wife like that. And then, things, I guess, snowballed from there. And it's just seems like a weird deal. It's like we're talking about two. I don't know when they exactly met, but this friendship.
Their pictures go back a long time.
We're talking about an over 50-year friendship that is apparently now over. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bad feelings have reached this point. Beefcake's about to do a tell-all book. I mean, just an hour ago, he tweeted something about, oh, this reminds me of the time, when Hogan left me with the bag, if you know what I mean. I assuming meaning drugs. Beefcake would carry Hogan's drugs on him, so Beefcake would be the one who would get arrested for. Because that was their relationship.
See, that's some bullshit. All right, listen. You're Brutus Beefcake. There, I'm done. Yeah. If the top star in the industry wants you to carry his cocaine, allegedly, carry his fucking cocaine, idiot. And you know why? Because he's going to give you free cocaine out of it. So now all these years that you don't do cocaine anymore, now you're mad that he made you do it? Are you going to expose him for it? That's your job, bitch.
Yeah.
God, how ungrateful. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to get mad at Kevin because he brews beers and then sends them to me and this one isn't working. So Kevin brews beers and he goes, hey, we got to sneak these across the state line. So obviously you're going to get some of this when we get where we're going. So if you want to carry, I'm like, yeah, I'll carry. That's fine. Obviously a much smaller scale, but I'm still getting something out of it. These old wrestler guys, when they get burnt by their friends, they turn into children. And it's kind of disgusting. Now, I'm basing this off of stuff that I don't actually know if that's going to happen or not.
Right. Now,
whatever.
Now, as a grown man, Beefcake chose to play the lackey. He chose to carry this man's bags.
Yes.
There's Do you remember the hilarious story that went around that I guess Beefcake's ex-wife went on some chat or whatever and said that at one time they were all sitting around watching football or something, Hogan announced that he was going to the bathroom, and Beefcake ran to the bathroom to make sure that the seat was down and it was screwed in tight so that Hulk apparently didn't fall in?
No. But what kind of busted-ass house are you living in if that's actually a concern?
I guess they would have went at Hogan's, but... That's how concerned Beefcake was about his man, about his meal ticket.
I've actually never heard that before, and I really hope that's a fake story. Because
I do too. I mean, hopefully that's a bitter ex-wife, tall tale.
Yeah. But wait, who was saying that they were actually lovers? Was that?
Hogan? That was Linda. That was Hulk's ex.
All right. It's all gossipy stuff, and it's like, you're not going to get the truth out of Hogan either.
No, of course not. I mean,
all of this is just conjecture, rumors, whatever, and that's what I thought was funny when Hogan said you need to lawyer up or whatever, and he sent a picture of Clarence Mason. I'm like, Dude, you understand, Hogan got back in and, you know, effectively took down Gawker. So, yeah, you may want to take this kind of serious, actually, and, you know, not dick around the way you are, but, you know, or you better make sure your sources are airtight, but, I don't know. I just, yeah, that cocaine thing, that irks me. Fucking ungrateful shithead. You know how much money he probably saved by getting the superstar cocaine off of that? Whatever. See, us old men are beefing on Twitter about the past, and I don't know, maybe karma is a concept I don't believe in, but this is where people would be like, karma's a bitch. And it does make you question, well, you know, if Hogan was that much of a jerk to everybody in real life, maybe this is what he has coming. And this is just like, you know, people saying that, yeah, enough of this guy.
Yeah, but he's got his settlement. As long as he doesn't blow through that money, I guess in the end he wins.
Yeah, I always wonder though, like, how much money is he actually going to see of that?
Well, he's got a... Well, he's got to pay back, what's his name? Peter Thiel. And then, you know, his lawyer's got to get the cut. Well, through Peter Thiel. You know, but still, he's nearly a 7-year-old guy if he walks away with $10 million. Now, granted, he does like to live large, and I don't understand why he hasn't just gone away.
And I think because he wants to be back in WWE so bad.
Oh yeah, it's he's always been driven. That's where he hasn't been smart. He let ego overtake money and his list of priorities.
Yeah. One thing that I'm surprised he hasn't tried to do is what is slowly starting to come out, or people are slowly starting to notice, this whole thing with the Ultimate Warrior, and people rightfully saying, hey, wasn't this guy a total dick? You know?
And yeah, and you notice this week, no breast cancer, even in the last 2 days of the month, no breast cancer stuff.
I wonder if that, but I also wonder if that was just by design. But
it was still October, so they still could have.
Yeah,
done
that
something.
Is true. That is true. Yes, it is. It was still October, but.
So yeah, but you said the Warrior thing. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't leave. Why they thought this was making him the face. Well, making the face paint design or whatever you want to call it, and his widow be the face of their all their philanthropic efforts. I have no idea. I don't know why they thought this was a good idea from the start. I don't know. They could have just left well enough alone. I think people, for the most part, were okay with the idea of, you know. I mean, the guy never killed anyone or did anything or was ever accused of anything of a violent crime of any sort. But letting his family grieve and letting fans, you know, have their nostalgia in the week or two after his death. But it's been, as I said, you know, a couple of weeks back, some, you know, elsewhere. We're going on 4 years of this shit. He died in 2004, in April of 2014.
Yeah, goddamn.
And we're still lionizing this asshole.
Yeah, as I was listening to the Observer, and, you know, Dave Meltzer was actually basically saying, it's like, you know, if anything, it doesn't, obviously it doesn't excuse what, like, Hulk Hogan's racist fucking bigotry, whatever, but at least he was smart enough to be like, oh my god, I'm sorry. To try, you know, at least, excuse me, I couldn't hit mute in time. At least he said the words, if you want to put it that way. Showed some sort of repentance, alright? Even if it is just a play to get back in. Warrior never did. Warrior, you know, it gay people are evil. AIDS is for gay people. I'm glad Bobby Heenan's got cancer. I'm glad this happened to them. I mean, all these sort of things. Horrible, horrible things. Wasn't he even calling, like, Hogan and Beefcake faggots? Like, literally, he was calling them faggots. Not even insinuating anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then you just realize it's that marketing machine by WWE. And that's why they're using it. Because the face paint is an iconic thing. People see that and go, oh, Ultimate Warrior. A lot of people don't know that Ultimate Warrior did these sort of things, too. Because once he disappeared, he was gone. And he was on his YouTube station and that. And yeah, some outlets picked it up, but, you know, the news cycle. But then, it's also because you get a bunch of women who beat breast cancer, who Susan whatever, fucking Komen's already got their talons and their marketing talons into these poor women. And WWE just like, yeah, we know how to turn this, because now they're warriors that beat cancer. They're warriors that did this. And I'm sure they're going to start, I'd be curious with that Connors cure, is some of that, won't those kids won't be, you know, Connors warriors, that sort of stuff too. Because they have a trademark of the warrior name, right? I think. Yeah. So now, and that's a huge name to have a trademark for. So it's like, I get it, and I don't like it, but what are you going to do, man? I mean, that's just how they're going to do it. So, anyways, Hogan's beefing on Hogan. Wow, I didn't even think of that. Hogan and Brutus are beefing on Twitter. Like 2 10-year-old girls who have to interject their opinion to everything. But I don't know, man. Did we cover everything? For the most part?
I think we did.
Alright.
Yeah, I just...
I'm telling you, now that we do these shows more often together, they're getting better. Yeah. So.
I think they are. I think we did pretty good there. I think we can wrap this thing up before we screw it up.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. So on that note, it is Stunt Granny on all social media. Find us on your whatever podcast platform you use. Stunt Granny as well. Shahid and I will be back tomorrow or Thursday. Wait, what did I say? Tuesday? Yeah, Thursday morning. Whatever. We watch stuff. I'm not sure if Kevin's got an OPA in the chain or not. I don't think that's the right terminology, but who cares? I'm out of here, and have a good night, day, week, whatever you got going, guys.
Night.
Just gonna cop out, huh?
I did.
All right.